This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The mobile threat landscape continues to grow and evolve with factors like increasing speed, power and storage. Today, mobile phones are being used for all sorts of things like online shopping, managing your finance, paying your bills, all of which includes sensitive data that becomes a target for cyber criminals. Intel security McAfee Labs recently released its Mobile Threat Report 2016 and examined some of the new threats in the mobile landscape today. And with me on the phone is David Freer. He's the Vice President Consumer Asia Pacific for Intel Security. David, how vulnerable are mobile phones today? And, you know, is this true that apparently, mobile Android phones are more vulnerable than other operating systems like iOS?
Well, that's an interesting question, Jeff, and great to be here today. Look, we talk about operating systems, but mobile phones are a little bit more complex than that. And being able to tag one or the other, whether it's Android or iOS, as being more vulnerable, it's sort of missing the point. There are, you know, controls around the app store. There's the kind of apps that are up there. Are they dubious? Is there the size of install base? Because there's a lot more Android phones out there. So hence, you know, the cyber criminals look at, you know, if I can target 90% of the population, I'll go for 90% rather than 10% of the population. So, you know what, Android appears to be more vulnerable when you look at the number of threats, but it's all relative to the number of phones that are actually out there at the moment. What we're seeing is generally the threat levels are increasing.
Generally, when it comes to mobile phones, I think, you know, for cyber criminals, if they just get 1%, and that's a huge number as well, because, you know, there are so many mobile phones these days, apparently more than toothbrushes.
Well, I don't know if there's more than toothbrushes. A lot of dirty teeth out there, if there is. But there's certainly a growing volume of them coming through very quickly. And, you know, we look in Malaysia, it's projected to grow another 10% this year in terms of phones to over 11 million phones in that market. So, you know, there's no slowdown in the number of phones penetrating any particular market at the moment.
The McAfee Lab Mobile Threat Report, what does it actually aim to do?
Well, it's really an education document, and one of the big things we find being both a provider and an educator of security is make certain people understand the threats. You know, a lot of the threats we see aren't necessarily things that we can fix. You know, some of it is social engineering, some of it is trusting people you shouldn't trust, and it's teaching common sense. And we use something like the Mobile Threat Report as a way to show changes in trends, grow some interest, such as interviews like this, and ensure people are aware of the threats that are out there.
Have the threats really evolved, or, you know, are these new threats like we were stumbling upon?
Yeah, well, look, there's a couple of big things that we saw happen with the, you know, in this latest threat report. The first thing is the number of threats has gone through the roof. It's interesting, last 2 years, in 2013 and 2014, the number of new threats we were finding in the mobile space was somewhere between 200,000 to 400,000 a quarter. To get in perspective, you know, in the last quarter of 2014, we saw 300,000 threats. But last year, in the December quarter, we saw 1.5 million threats. So that's a fivefold increase. So it really took off in the last year. So that's the first big one. Mm. The second thing is, you know, we're seeing a lot more malware or bad apps being embedded in other applications. And some of these are dubious, and we'll touch on those in a minute, but we're also seeing a lot more stuff using apps as a Trojan horse. And the last thing is we're finally starting to see some of the operating system providers, such as Android, moving to more regular security updates, but it's still not enough. You know, they're doing it monthly, but that's dependent upon all the manufacturers rolling it out as well. So a lot of vulnerabilities out there and really a much larger number of threats than we've seen previously coming through.
Why is this happening? Like, why is there a huge number of threats just evolving when, you know, we're continuously working on, you know, new security updates and patches?
Yeah, well, there's money in it, Jeff. Mm. It's pretty simple. If you can make money and pretty much free money for not a lot of effort, people are going for it. And probably the big thing that we're seeing with mobile And you know, the cyber criminals are picking up on it. This is not like your PC. And if you think of your PC, to get money out of it, someone's got to give you a credit card or a bank account or something else. Your actual mobile phone actually comes with a range of ways to make money off it. One way, for example, get it to regularly ring a premium SMS number. You get charged for your normal telephone bill. And, you know, the cyber criminal gets some value out of it. Another way is things like near-field communications. You know, you can now put your credit card into your phone and use it with a near-field communication. That's now making it easier for cyber criminals to get to money. So people are increasingly using their mobile phones as a way to either store money, pay money, or you know, charge things to their telephone account, and we're seeing that being used by the cyber criminals.
Is the report this year, different from, previous years? Are there, any sort of new threats that you took you by surprise?
Well, I don't know if they took us by surprise, but it's amazing what an arms war we're in at the moment. We're seeing some really interesting different threats come out. Some are real criminal-type applications. Some are just dubious in what they do. And I'll give you a couple of examples. The first probably criminal one we can talk about is one called Stage Fright. And Stage Fright's an interesting bit of code. Normally the old way of getting people to do something is to get them to click on a bad link or put some personal information in or do something along that line. What Stage Fright does is it sends you a message, an MMS, one of the ones that comes with a photo. And usually the way MMSs work is they require you to either click on a link to download the photo or take some action to accept it. What we're now seeing is that cyber criminals are putting malware into that download and you're infecting your phone when you get that MMS. So that's probably one of the new things that's coming through right now that we're seeing. A second one, and it's probably weak class this is dubious, is one called Silver Push. And Silver Push is also interesting because what that's doing is it's putting an advertising developer's kit into a bit of software and it's designed to track your TV watching and radio listening habits. Now, great for BFM if we want to know what your ratings are, but at the end of the day, the problem isn't so much that this advertising developer's kit is being built into applications, it's that it's not being mentioned to people. It's being hidden in standard applications. It's being used to track people's both location, potentially their phone, and also what they do and what they listen to. So, that's one of the ones that's more surprising to us, that this kind of software is actually coming through.
It's not transparent as it should be, for something like this.
Yeah, and it's probably that transparency that's the interesting bit that we're seeing at the moment. The transparency is one of the biggest things we see with apps. If people went and read what they're actually signing up to with an app, reading under the end user license agreement, the EULA as we call it, you'd be shocked what you're agreeing to. Now, to Android's and iOS's credit, they actually flash up and say, hey, do you agree to do all these particular things, give your location, whatever else? But it's when you go and read the small print on what you're actually committing to, that's where it gets a little bit scary. And a lot of people just click through that screen. It might be a free app, but it's not really free because of what you're providing. And this Silver Push is a good example of that.
Yeah, I'm guilty of, downloading apps just for fun as well,
Yeah, well, we all are, but, as I said, free normally means you're the product. Mm. You're not getting the product, but you're actually the thing they're tracking or keeping track of. Following your movements or all your activities, et cetera. So Silver Push was a great example of that, but we were surprised at its prevalence. It's being used to track a lot of things, and probably the bigger thing for us was it wasn't being disclosed properly to users that it was actually there and what it was doing.
I'm speaking to David Freer. He's the Vice President Consumer Asia Pacific Intel Security, and we were going through the McAfee Labs Mobile Threat Report. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandu. And I'm speaking to David Freer. He's the Vice President Consumer Asia Pacific Intel Security, and we are going through McAfee Labs Mobile Threat Report 2016. David, you mentioned early on about Stage Fright. How does it actually work?
It's a pretty simple app. We all get SMSs, MMSs, emails, and other bits of information every day, and it's pretty simple to click through and look at them. The way Stage Fright works is you get an MMS message, which is normally with a picture, and if you have auto retrieval for MMS turned on your phone, I can tell you nearly every phone has it turned on by default. Guess what? You just got infected. So it's that simple. Just receiving an MMS will compromise your phone. And we've seen this out in the wild now since last August. They've put out 3 or 4 different versions, and we see the vulnerabilities shoot up every time they work out a way to try and get around the protections that have been built into the operating system.
And what happens when my phone does get infected?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. The first thing you should do is try and get a comprehensive security solution. There's a lot of them on the market. Obviously, I'm from Intel Security, and we're happy to recommend our own, but you know, there's a range of them there. Most of them will hopefully help you either protect your phone from getting it or help you clean your phone up. That's important. The other thing you've got to do is keep your operating system up to date. Too often we get bugged with, hey, iOS update or Android update or whatever. Do it, because a lot of these vulnerabilities that we've come through, we see with stage fright, get closed by Google or Apple, yet people don't update their operating system. So it leaves vulnerable for a lot longer than they need to be.
And the other one that you mentioned earlier was Silverpush. It doesn't sound like a bad thing. It's just probably, you know, snooping on what I'm watching and what I'm listening to. Can we do anything about Silverpush? Like, should it be transparent? Like, should developers say, like, hey, you know, we're going to develop this and part of this app is going to be spying on your behavioral?
Yeah, a couple of things to think about. It's worthwhile doing a Google search on Silverpush just to understand where it's been seen and what it's been seen in. I won't mention any of the apps here. But the second thing is, do read what you're committing to when you download an app. I am as guilty as everyone else of, oh, I want that thing, I want it now, download onto my phone, click through all the, yeah, I agree, I agree, I agree. Do take the time to understand what you're signing up to. The whole thing is, half these guys will, you know, at the moment, the problem with Silverpush is they don't tell you it's on there. But even if they did tell you it was on there, I'll tell you 9 out of 10 people will click through. So probably the big message here is, if you don't want your phone snooping on you, if you don't want your phone sending information on your viewing habits or listening habits or other things back to a third party that you don't know, read the end user license agreement. Mm-hmm. Have a quick look through it and see what you're committing to. That's the best advice I can give you. You know, at the end of the day, it isn't malware, and because it isn't malware, Android and Apple aren't obligated to take it down from their store. So it's a buyer beware issue here in this particular case. Mm.
And there's a new thing now. It's smishing. It's S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. Is this different from the phishing that we know?
It's phishing for mobiles. That's the best way I can explain it. It's like the love of this industry to get acronyms and fancy words out there so that we can get on the radio. It's wonderful, isn't it? We can talk about smishing now. It's pretty much the same thing. Whereas phishing was a personalized email that would come to you and say, hey, David, I've got a great deal for you, or I'm your long-lost friend, or you've won $1 million, click here to find out. Smishing is just the same thing, but it's done with an SMS. So they're doing exactly the same thing, trying to get an individualized message to you to get you to click through a link or reply to a telephone number. Now, this can work a number of different ways. Once you click through the link, it might ask for personal information. It may ask you to download applications, which are normally malware. Or worse still, you might be doing something that appears quite legal, such as signing up for a competition or even a free meal. I've seen some where you'll offered and given a free meal, but what you don't realize is that you're signing up for something like a premium SMS repetitive billing system. So all of a sudden on your telephone bill, you're getting billed $1 a month, for example, which you never notice. So There's a range of different things here, but this really is just the old phishing scam, which is to get, you know, a personalized email to you via SMS. So we're really seeing that pick up. And again, where are people spending most of their time on their devices? On their mobiles. And where do they click through quickly? On their mobiles. So hence, it's now a target.
What kind of information cyber criminals can steal from our phone, and what do they use it for?
Well, they can steal almost anything. What we see is there's a lot of social engineering that goes on. So people will use names of friends. They'll want your contact names, for example, again, to be able to craft messages either to those contacts, you know, from you, or vice versa, you know, convince you that it's someone else talking to you, someone that you know that you're talking to. They may sell your numbers on to mass spam sites. They may target your telephone number, as I said, for these premium SMS targets. There's a range of different things that they can do. And the sophistication is only going to increase. Whereas people did a lot of activity on their PCs previously, a lot of that activity is moving onto their phones. And, you know, whether it's access to financial data or banking information or whatever, all those areas start to become more vulnerable because we're doing more of that on our phone. And we're opening it up to these kinds of threats.
Looking ahead, with Internet of Things and wearables coming around, does this have any impact on potential threats that you foresee happening?
I think we've got a view of what the future is going to be like by just looking at what's happened with mobile. PCs peaked in terms of the amount of malware we saw on that. We're now seeing mobiles take off. The expectation is that wearables are going to complement or duplicate what mobiles are doing in terms of both volume, you know, number of units out there, number of people wearing it. And what we're going to see is the same thing. A number of targeted attacks once you get enough people using wearables. And again, if you think of a wearable or any other small device, you're even quicker in how you reply or respond or look at or do an action. They're all designed for just-in-time responses. Guess what? That plays right into the cyber criminals' hands. If they've got, for example, something like stage fright, where all you've got to do is open an MMS up, guess what I'm going to send to your wearable device, you know, a little MMS, where you've got very little time. You're going to click it when you're getting into the cab or something else, and I've now infected your device. So it's just going to be another attack vector that we expect to see. And the more devices out there, the more opportunity the cyber criminals have got to reach out to you or, like these advertisers, get more information on you. Yeah, I was just going to say, interesting times. This is not just about money. It's about your personal information and your personal habits.
And finally, David, you know, since we've scared people enough already now, you know, I'm sure they would want to know, you know, how can they protect themselves and, you know, still continue to use their phones because, you know, everyone's addicted to their mobile phone.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, you know, and again, we're not here to scare people. We're here to educate people. I think that's the most important thing. And people won't stop using their phones, but they've just got to use them with a little bit of knowledge. So, probably five things that I bring up. You know, the first one is update your operating system. Whenever you see that nagging message that comes through and says, hey, update your operating system, do it. It will close some loopholes in there. Second is there are official app stores. Only use those. You know, whether it's for your device or from the actual original manufacturer, use official app stores. Do look at reputation scores. It's amazing when you get onto the app stores, a lot of people download dodgy apps without looking at, you know, has this got 5 stars or 1 stars? What are the comments on it? Mm. You know, the fourth one is be suspicious. You know, just if something looks a bit strange and, you know, Jeff sent me something and doesn't quite look right, ring Jeff and just ask him, did you send me a text or a strange MMS? You know, I don't normally get something from you. You know, ask the question. And the last one is do use comprehensive security software. This is updated every day. It covers the latest threats. The operating systems are at best only being updated once a month. So this closes that little vulnerable window that you've got while you're waiting for the operating system to be updated. So they'd be the five things I'd mention, Jeff.
All right. I've been speaking to David Freer. He's the Vice President, Consumer Asia Pacific, Intel Security, talking about the threats in the mobile landscape that you must know and how you can protect yourself. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.